our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 383, the stanzas 1, 3, and 5. All that I am, I owe to thee. Thy wisdom, Lord, hath fashioned me. I give my Maker thankful praise, whose wondrous works my soul amaze. And what follows, Psalter 383, the stanzas 1, 3, and 5. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Kings 20, the verses 28 through 34. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, has suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Kings 20, the verses 28 through 34. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days. And so it was that in the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day. And the rest fled to Aphek into the city. And there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city, into an inner chamber. And his servant said unto him, Behold now, we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, I pray thee, put sackcloth on our loins and robes upon our heads, and go out to the king of Israel. Peradventure he will save thy life. So they girded sackcloth on their loins and put robes on their heads and came to the king of Israel and said, Thy servant Ben-Hadad saith, I pray thee, let me live. And he said, Is he yet alive? He is my brother. And now the men did diligently observe whether anything would come from him, and did hastily catch it. And they said, Thy brother Ben-Hadad. And then he said, Go ye bring him. Then Ben-Hadad came forth to him, and he caused him to come up into the chariot. And Ben-Hadad said unto him, The cities which my father took from thy father I will restore, and thou shalt make straits for thee in Damascus, as my father made in Samaria. Then said Ahab, I will send thee away with this covenant. As so he made a covenant with him and sent him away. Thus far the scripture reading. Oh, let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when by renewal on this Lord's Day, we as a people, we attempt to open our unclean lips, to come unto thee with our blessings, with our needs, with our desires, and with our sins. Then how fitting to pray with the disciples of old, Lord, teach us to pray. So indispensable each time by renewal, that we receive a profound impression unto whom we speak, where thou art majestic, glorious, and lifted up, and that we are filled with that reverence, with that awe, with that humility, a low place at thy footstool, a deep impression of our sinnership, where our sins are great and they are manifold, but also that faith, that is a God-given faith, which is wrought by thy Spirit to truly be given to believe, that thou art exceeding able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think, and with an eye for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Lord, dwell richly amongst us. Bless thy holy word. Apply it by thy Holy Spirit. Open ears and open hearts, that we may be given to hear thy voice in this evening hour, that it may enter our hearts, and that it may bear fruit. Lord, may there have souls come up with the thoughts multiplied, what it is to be outside of the sheepfold, to be still a goat. And, Lord, we have fallen so deeply that with the most solemn message that we can still continue to live on and no crying unto thee, but wilt thou grant in this evening that sinners may be pricked in their heart, slain on the battlefield of free and sovereign grace, thy love shed abroad in the heart, an impression of their condition and of their state, then they shall cry mightily unto thee, Lord, convert our little boys and our little girls. May it please thee to take early possession of their little hearts. Wilt thou convert our young people, convert the middle-aged, and convert the elderly ones. We all stand in need of the same thing. And in this evening hour, may it be used for the welfare of thy Zion. Bless the means of grace in the church on the Sabbath day and during the week. Bless the means of grace in the midst of the family circles. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers to that end? May they become faithful, concerned, and accompanied with prayer and a godly example. Bless the means of grace in our Christian school. We commend unto you the school board, the administration, the staff, the students, the bus drivers, and all awaits for thy blessing. We commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee, the established churches. Remember the persecuted church. Remember the Jewish nation. Remember all mission work, also our mission field. We commend unto thee thy servants, the team, the family circles, far away in another country. May they oftentimes be given to experience that thou art an everywhere present God. And then by renewal we commend unto thee him with his wife and children. Thou knowest what is laid before them. Grant them that free access at thy throne of grace, and that thou may be the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, with an eye upon thy glory and for the purpose of all purposes, and that is the coming of thy kingdom. Remember the nations of the earth. Remember this nation, the leaders federally, provincially, in the cities, in the towns, also in this town. Wilt thou pour out thy Holy Spirit also upon our community in a rich measure. And then we commend unto thee our southern neighbor, that great nation which thou hast made great, and were in former ages, thou wast wrought so wonderfully by thy Spirit. But it is a nation that is also departed so far from thee. And in 2 days, elections have been planned. We humbly beg of thee that thou may remember that nation in mercy, and that thou may grant leaders who are seeking for the right way, the biblical way, leaders where thy holy word may have a large place in their life. Lord, then we also commend unto thee the borders. They have been partially opened, but there are still difficulties. Then we may humbly ask thee, if it may please thee, that before the General Synod is planned to meet, that the restrictions may be lifted, that all the delegates may be enabled to meet. It is all in thy hand. We commend unto thee the manifold needs, all the mourning ones, the elderly ones, those in our care home, those that may still go in and out, two widows hope to commemorate their birthday in this week. They have already been widows for a long time. Thou hast upheld and spared them hitherto. Lord, we commend them both unto thee. Grant a special place at thy footstool. Remember them for body and for soul. Remember the sick and afflicted, the old mother in the hospital. May it please thee to grant further strengthening that she may return to the care home. We commend both her with her husband unto thee, for body and for soul. Wilt thou remember the handicapped ones, remember the crosses, the burdens. Bless the family circles with much love. What has been separated, may it please Thee to bring it together. Wilt Thou remember those that are struggling with temptations and addictions which can be so great and so powerful and so overwhelming. Oh, may it please Thee to deliver them. Wilt Thou help them. Lord, wilt Thou remember man and beast in the cold of the winter months? Then Thou granteth many blessings where we may still have a warm home and a warm church. We commend that country where there is war, where the fears are multiplying. May that people be given to cry unto Thee and experience that Thou knowest of them, and that the solemn callings that they may be sanctified, that it may be for the coming of Thy kingdom, and that Thy people may be given to make their calling and election sure, Lord. In this evening hour, then our eyes by renewal are upon Thee. May our help come from the Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth. Wilt Thou grant Aaron's and hers. Remember all the listeners. Wilt Thou graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance. May Thy word have free course. Wilt Thou bind the devil. Lord, be then a surprising God. Oh, grant a good hour in Thy house. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 432, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Our God Jehovah reigns, His are all domains. Tremble at His word, peoples who have heard of the power of Him who made cherubim. His great throne is taken, let earth be shaken. And what follows, Psalter 432, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Thank you. Beloved congregation, we have heard out of 1 Kings 20 that there was war between Syria and Israel. 7 days they have faced each other, and then in the war, only a few words in Scripture. That 100,000 footmen, they were slain in 1 day. Many have fled into the city of Aphek, and their wall has fallen, perhaps an earthquake, and 27,000 were under that wall. Only a few words in Scripture, and oftentimes how quickly and how easily we read over those words. 127,000 souls ushered into that never-ending eternity. 127 on the battlefield. That had beloved ones at home who would never see their dear ones no more. What a suffering and what a mourning. And this week, then a day has been set aside, and we hope to come up to God's house to remember the many sacrifices that were made for the freedoms and the liberties which we and our children, compared to so many people upon the earth, may still enjoy. And now in this history, then we read of King Ben-Hadad. We read in verse 31, in verse 30, and Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city, into an inner chamber. It is a history, but in this history, then we read of matters that are not strange to the Church of God, because in the margin, in those words, into an inner chamber, then it could be translated that king has fled from one chamber into another chamber, coming into one chamber hoping that he would be safe. But when he has considered, viewed that chamber, then he has realized that he needed a better chamber. And so he has went from one chamber to another. Are there souls that understand it, that know of those times through your house, or that you have went out of your house, at times that you could not stay in the midst of the family circle because of your sins, because of a thundering law, and because of a condemning justice? Oh, to go from one chamber to another, walking through our dwellings, maybe in the night watches, when all have been sleeping, and then no safety for our soul, and yet a folding of the hands begging the Lord whether there is a way to be delivered for such a sinner as I am. And now we have heard that those servants said to King Ben-Hadad that they have heard that the kings of Israel were merciful gods. And to that end, thus in these verses, from chamber to chamber, that's what we hope to hear in this evening in Lord's Day 4. And now this further history, then there is a people word is not all strange. And what have those servants then done? They have dressed in sackcloth, boys and girls, we would say. They have dressed all in black to show that they were sorrowful. And they have taken a rope around their neck, and they have went to the king of Israel. And then we read of remarkable things that those servants, that they have listened very attentively, and that they wanted to catch a word of the Israelites and of the king that would grant them hope. Those are the exercises of the living church, because they have received ears to hear, and they have to ask that they may take what is given unto them. The hypocrites, they take the children's bread, but the true concerned soul, they are so timid, but they listen well. And then as we read in this chapter, in this history, that those servants, that there would be one word which they could catch, hold on to, and give a little hope. And then the king of Israel has said, the brother Benhadad, that has given them expectation. And then we have heard in the history that the king climbed, received the place on Ahab's chariot. Oh, in the Bible, it is a history. But that King Benhadad, he needed mercy. And so the Lord has a people upon the earth where mercy becomes their only hope. Oh, in the scriptures, we read of another chariot. And that is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, the verses 9 through 11. And then we read that King Solomon made him a chariot of the cedars of Lebanon. And then we read of that chariot, the pillars were of silver, the bottom of gold, the covering of purple, and the midst was paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. And then in the 11th verse, then there was the calling to the daughters of Jerusalem, to behold Solomon riding in the chariot. So in this evening, congregation, then the chariot of the greater Solomon may ride through the midst of the congregation in the proclamation of his holy word. And there is still room in that chariot. That chariot is not full. May you be given all earnestly to find a place in that chariot. When we have heard of King Benhadad, that was for self-preservation. But for the people of God, it is accompanied with love. But congregation, whatever the reason, even for self-preservation, seek earnestly to find a place, cry mightily, that you may receive a place in that chariot. And when the Spirit begins, when we think of the Reformation, then for Martin Luther, especially in the beginning, he was driven from chamber to chamber, much to learn. He also had to come out of the Roman Catholic Church. But then his first concern was how that a soul may be saved. John Calvin has stressed more how that God may come to his glory, that Martin Luther has also learned. And now in this evening hour, then we hope to go from one chamber to another chamber. With the Lord's help, we wish to ask your attention for Lord's Day number 4, the question and answers 9, 10, and 11. Question 9. Doth not God then do injustice to man by requiring from him in his law that which he cannot perform? Answer, not at all. For God made men capable of performing it, but man, by the instigation of the devil and his own willful disobedience, deprived himself and all his posterity of those divine gifts. Question 10. Will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? Answer, by no means. But is terribly displeased with our original as well as actual sins, and will punish them in his just judgment temporally and eternally, as he hath declared, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Question 11. Is not God then also merciful? Answer, God is indeed merciful, but also just. Therefore, as justice requires that sin which is committed against the most high majesty of God be also punished with extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment of body and soul. The Lord, say, for speaks of the justice of God and the punishment of sin with three thoughts. In the first place, a vindicated justice. In the second place, a righteous justice. And in the third place, a maintained justice. The justice of God and the punishment of sin. A vindicated justice, as we find it in number 9. A righteous justice in number 10, and a maintained justice in number 11. Thus first, a vindicated justice. We have heard in Lord's Day number 3 that man has tried to place the blame on God. But we have heard that the Lord has created man perfectly in his image, capable to keep the covenant, but that Adam, our covenant head, has broken that covenant. And now in Lord's Day number 4, then there is a trying to excuse ourselves. 3 different questions. Then in Lord's Day number 4, then the sinner is taken the place of the victim. That is not so strange in our day. And there are people in society, family circles, that experience awful and terrible things. May the Lord grant unto our family circles that God's word may have much authority, and we cannot even try to fathom what some victims have to go through. But we live in a time that there is so much focus placed on the victim that they are not even responsible, and that they are given freedom to do what they do, even very contrary to God's word. But victims, they are still responsible. And now in this Lord's Day, then we have an uncovered sinner that is going from one chamber to another, attempting to find a hiding place. And after one question, when it is answered so biblically, then that sinner goes to another chamber with another question where he may find a hiding place. And then we read, doth not God then do injustice in man by requiring from him in his law that which he cannot perform? When we consider our lives, then all of us, from the youngest to the oldest, then there can arise many questions in our heart concerning the degree of God that He has decreed the fall, that He has let it happen, allowed it to happen, and that the sin of Adam, that it is imputed to us and our children. Oh, what a questions there can be concerning the election of God, the sovereignty of God, that He has freely chosen one and not chosen the other. Oh, what a struggles there can be with that question. If I am not elected, then no matter how diligent I am with searching God's Word, with coming to church, then I shall never come in heaven. That is true. But it is written in God's Word, those that seek Him with their whole heart, that they shall be finders. Thus let us not throw stones at this inquiring sinner when we consider all our lives, what a questions there can be, may be afraid to bring those questions out, but that they live in our heart. And now we read, doth not God then do injustice to man? When we read these questions, it is a great difference how and why a question is asked. Then this question, then we do not read that it is a question for further instruction. Then in this question, then we do not read anything of the glory of God. Then in this question, then we do not read yet a bowing sinner that we hope to find in Lord's Day number 4. But it is a sinner that has been uncovered to his lost condition, whether he may not find excuses and that he may go free. Doth not God then do injustice to man by requiring from him in his law that which he cannot perform? Let us ask another question, congregation. We read, doth not God then do injustice to man? Do we not do injustice to God? He has created us so perfectly, given us His Word, given one day in seven that we may especially think about our never-dying soul, a God that grants so many precious things from heaven. Do we not do injustice to God when we disobey, ungrateful, when we do not bow, when we do not worship, when we live as if there is no God? Is that our picture, congregation? Do we sometimes have to confess honestly, Lord, I now actually live upon this earth as if there is no God, as if I have no soul. I live upon this earth as if I shall not die, and if there is no eternity. The necessity, the prayer for the Holy Spirit to come down, and that those divine realities, that they become real and are experienced in our life. When we consider these three questions, then maybe there are those that think quite bold questions, dare to ask that great, that majestic, and glorious God. But these three questions declare that the student, that he is very exercised with the justice of God. Can that be said of us? Have we become exercised with the justice and all the attributes of God, a demanding justice, and that justice shall be executed? And between the two lies the long suffering of the Lord. When the Lord works with the Spirit, then we become exercised therewith. And then we become exercised with our sin, with our debt. And that becomes a great burden. And the Spirit grants that love. The sinner learns on account of their sin, they must be punished temporally and eternally. And that is to miss God. And that is the greatest burden for a poor sinner. They can miss much upon the world, but they cannot miss that just and good-doing God. Then in this question, we must answer two questions. In the first place, is it now right? Adam has taken of that forbidden fruit. And is it now just of God that one sin that has taken place more than 6,000 years ago? We were not there. We were not born. And that sin that is imputed to all the race of Adam, children conceived in the womb, born and conceived in sin through that one sin. And then the next question is it now really right and just of the Lord to demand of us what we can no longer perform? And that question can have many forms. Is it now right and just of God for a dead lost sinner to demand that they convert themselves, that they repent and believe, as Jesus has declared in Mark 1, verse 15, the calling to repent and to believe. And then concerning our original sin, the covenant of works, which the Lord has established with Adam, our covenant head, representing all his posterity. Concerning a covenant head, we can give more examples. The father, the husband, the head of the household, decisions made on behalf of the family. When we have a leader of a country, think in the time of David, when the Israelites have battled the Philistines, then Goliath has put a proposal that he would represent the Philistines, and that the Israelites would find a man that would represent them, and then just two would fight, and whoever would win, that would be the victory for the nation. Concerning that covenant of works and original sin, many objections are brought against it. We think of an unborn child, a little child, that cannot even yet think. And then for that sin to be put on their account, guilty of death. Therefore, little children also die. Is that not right? Is that not fair? It is remarkable that you do not so often hear objections against the covenant of grace of the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was represented all his chosen church, that he has purchased them, and that all those elect ones, that they may go free. And those objections we do not hear. But if we have objections against the one covenant with the representative head, then in all honesty, then we should also have objections against the way of salvation. Thus it concerns Adam, and how he has willingly entered that covenant. Could not be different. Because he loved the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and with all his strength. Oh, Adam has received an opportunity to show the Lord that he has loved him so. Thomas Boston has written in a certain place that Adam was placed on a ship with all human prosperity, sailing on a large ocean. The whole ocean was his, allowed to sail on. There was only one place where he was not allowed to sail, but he has done so. And so that ship has sunk, and the whole human race floundering in the ocean, lost. But a way made that he may be saved. But further, doth not God then do injustice to man by requiring from him in his law that which he cannot perform? Is it now proper to ask a little child to move a rock that weighs a ton? Is it now right to ask a crippled Mephibosheth to start running? That is the question. And then the answer, very clear. Not at all, but God made men capable of performing it. But man, and Lord's be number three, we have heard of that disobedience. But now the instructors also speak by the instigation of the devil, as we have heard last time, and his own willful disobedience deprived himself and all his posterity of those divine gifts. Oh, those gifts. Knowledge, righteousness, holiness, communion, and peace. To give an example, a man and a woman, they make their vows on the day of marriage, which they lovingly and willingly do, with their duties and with their responsibilities. And now let's say, it's an awful thing, when a husband becomes a drunkard and it does not go at once, congregation, let us remember, go step by step. May the beginning in the life of the young man before they were married, sometime a bar, thus step by step. And now if the husband becomes a drunkard, terrible thing. May the Lord keep us. We cannot imagine what a wife has to live through when it is so. But when that husband becomes a drunkard, does that relieve him of his vows and of his responsibility for the daily bread, to surround his wife with care, compassion, and kindness, the responsibility with the instruction of his family and children? Then we shall all say no. Now, an example out of daily life, and may the Lord keep us. What a privilege and what a blessing it is when in family circles, when love may abound more and more, when God's Word may have a central place, and when there is an honest searching of God's Word. We have heard it from the Reformation, sola scriptura. That needs to be in our family circles for the church to prosper. And the Lord has promised to bless His Word by His Holy Spirit for the ingathering of the church and for the comfort of Zion. Secondly, a righteous justice. Then the sinner, the uncovered sinner, has heard the answer. And he has went into another chamber where perhaps there may be a little deliverance, a little relief. Because in answer 10, then the student is given to declare that the answer is biblical, scriptural. And then the next question is, for such a sinner as I am, where the excuses are taken away, that is the work of the Spirit, to teach a sinner what a sinner they are, because we read in Matthew 9, verse 12, they that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick. And now the question is, will God suffer such disobedience? And then there's another word added, and rebellion. that is for one that has committed mutiny, has revolted, rebelled against the highest majesty. Will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? Thus the question is, must God now punish each of our sins? Or is it possible that He may overlook at least some? That is the question. And question number 10. Answer, by no means, but is terribly displeased for a sinner that has rebelled against his Creator, his benefactor, his lawgiver, his judge, where death was threatened, but the sinner has disobeyed. By no means, but is terribly displeased. And that is a sword that cuts deeply into the heart of an uncovered and seeking sinner. Because in the moment of regeneration, then the Spirit implants the graces of love, faith, and hope in the heart. And then the sinner, with all their questions, oh, there can be times that they feel that rebellion rising up against that majestic and glorious God. Oh, there can be souls, what a struggle they can have with the sovereignty of God, with that degree, with original sin. Nevertheless, an uncovered sinner is a sinner with that love shed abroad in his heart. Oh, a sinner that is also given to love the justice of God. Such a sinner desires no other God. But how deeply it cuts through their heart that such a merciful, such a good-doing God, that He is terribly displeased with them, because when there is love, then we seek each other, then we seek for that communion. Ah, that is the sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, that godly sorrow that worketh repentance, not to be repented. What a burden it is for those seeking souls that the Lord is terribly displeased with the sins and with the sinner. May I ask you, congregation, have you experienced that? Have you experienced that sorrow that the Lord is terribly displeased, and a God that a sinner cannot miss? Ah, the sinner is given to pray with Psalm 106, verse 4. Remember me with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. By no means, but is terribly displeased with our original as well as actual sins. There are many objections brought against the original sin. but may then ask you, congregation, how is it with your actual sins? Because by our actual sins, then each time by renewal, we renew the choice of our original sin. Oh, it is necessary. It's what this Lord's Day and the following Lord's Day goes about. Romans 3, verse 19, that every mouth may be stopped, and that we become guilty before the Lord, and will punish them in His just judgment, temporally. Many examples in the Bible. Think of the kings of Judah. Think of Israel. When they have trampled upon God's word, upon His commandments, then the Lord has punished them severely. Many different judgments concerning that temporal punishment. Then not only concerning outward matters, but also concerning the soul. When we are given over to delusion, hardness of heart, a troubled conscience, walking over the earth of fear, that we may be found out, oh, young and old. Sin is such a bitter thing. The sweetness is so short. We see it in our society. What a troubles, what an afflictions, what a broken families. To that end, necessary to ask the Lord that He may keep us close to His word, but the law of God demands perfection. Concerning punishment, that is for the unconverted. Chastisement for the child of God. Think of David. After he has went in unto Bathsheba, the sword has not departed from his house. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Have you learned, congregation? It is needful to be taught by the Spirit. Let us first sing. 265. Let us sing 1 and 2, and if necessary, the third. Jehovah reigns in majesty, let all the nations quake. He dwells between the cherubim, let earth's foundation shake. And what follows, 265, 1 and 2, and if necessary, stanza 3. and the justice of God in the punishment of sin. A vindicated justice, a righteous justice, and now thirdly, a maintained justice. Then in this Lord's Day, we have a guilty sinner, and no escape. The Lord must and shall punish sin. And then he comes into another chamber with one more question. Oh, are there souls that are struggling with these matters? Question 11. Is not God then also merciful? Oh, that the sinner is given to experience. And that is the long-suffering of the Lord. Oh, there can be times in the life of an uncovered sinner that they are given to be wondered at mercy, that the Lord still grants them a place also in His house, that the Lord still proclaims His word unto them. The long suffering indeed is great. Is the Lord then not also merciful? Oh, Moses, in Exodus 34, then we read, plenteous in mercy and loving kindness and tender mercies. And it cuts the deeper, that they have sinned and they do sin against such a good doing, such a merciful God. And now the answer, God is indeed merciful. All the riches of that mercy can never be explained. Oh, ask that sheep of whom we have heard in this morning, my cup runneth over. That was all of mercy, nothing of merit, free and sovereign grace, but not mercy at the expense of justice. And it is so needful, so profitable, that the uncovered sinner is instructed concerning these matters, but also just. Therefore, as justice requires that sin which is committed against the Most High Majesty of God be also punished with extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment of body and soul. Where shall that be, congregation? Boys and girls, young people, older ones, where shall that be? That shall be in hell. Do you think of hell and also of heaven? Two eternal destinations. At our death, we shall not come to nothing. True, our body shall return to the dust, but on the great day of judgment, then body and soul shall be reunited. the sheep and the goats brought before the judge. And then the goats will hear those solemn words, oh, in this evening, to still come. But depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In the Gospels, we read that word hell 15 times, each time spoken by Jesus. A place of fire, gnashing of teeth, all young and old. What shall it be, if that shall be our portion? Then there shall be cursing, there shall be mocking. We shall be with the devils, the worst criminals upon the earth, church people of different denominations. And there shall be no comfort. Luke 16. Then that rich man has asked for water to cool his tongue, shall not be given him. And then, oh, young and old, may we be given to cry mightily unto the Lord, that we may be saved by free and sovereign grace. Oh, then I would say, there was that Benedict, mourning clothes, acknowledging the Lord that he is just, oh, I know it has to be given, but may there be a hastening for our life's sake. And then that worm that shall gnaw. Then every sermon, also today, shall come back. We shall know that there is a happy people in heaven. And then, there is a people upon the earth that cuts the deepest. Can even be. Not possible, but that such a sinner, where they learned that is their rightful place, that in their simplicity and with that love, that they can even ask the Lord, it can never be, but, oh Lord, may I then have a little corner where I shall not have to hear that cursing, and where I shall not have to curse thee. Oh, that cuts the deepest. For a sinner, that they shall have to miss the Lord, his blessed favor, his blessed communion. May the Lord grant that we may be given to think of these solemn matters. Is the Lord not merciful? He is merciful indeed, but also just, that we see on the cross of Calvary. There the justice of God is declared, rather than that sin go unpunished. He has punished the same for his children and his only beloved son. And therein lies the mercy for the church. May it please the Lord. Oh, in the time of the great awakenings, when we read those sermons, maybe congregation, maybe you have that sermon of Jonathan Edwards. Sinners, in the hands of an angry God. The Lord has blessed that sermon. Then he has pictured a sinner hanging by a spider's thread over the flames of hell. May still be declared, oh, that chariot, there is still room. May there be a hastening for our life's sake. We read in Hebrews 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect such great salvation? Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, in this morning, we have heard of the sheep, the flock, that they would receive an eternal habitation, because thou hast declared, in my Father's house are many mansions, I go and prepare a place for you. And in this evening hour, we have heard of the portion of those who refuse to repent, to forsake their sins, to bow and to cry for mercy, Lord. Do grant the application. We may commence another week. Wilt thou remember tomorrow evening with the instruction of our youth? Wilt thou help instructors and students? Remember the consistory when they hope to meet. Bless the house visitations. Bring us together for a weekday service. A day has been set aside in our country that we may be given to remember the sacrifices that have been made, that many have given even their lives for the liberties that we enjoy. Lord, wilt thou guide, keep, protect us in this week. Remember in the home, remember on the way, at work, at school. Remember our youth who are studying in higher institutions of learning. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? Grant mercies over the unsafe roads. Watch over us in this night. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 420, the first stanza. God shall arise and by his might put all his enemies to flight with shame and consternation. And what follows, Psalter 420, the first stanza. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.